You know all of those stacked and wobbly plates you're spinning? How are you going to keep them going? Guess what? You can't. The world tells us we can and we must. That without doing them, we are less than. All the Things with Kristen Schindler is a place where plate spinning is thrown out the window. And real talk begins. Talk that's true, honest, real, raw, and redemptive. Because we have all seen enough highlight reels. What we need more of is encouragement, inspiration, and being reminded we are enough and always have been. We just forgot because we were so busy spinning plates.
Welcome, friends. I'm so glad that you joined us for the next episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. And I am so excited today. I am actually sharing the mic space with a fellow podcaster, my first fellow podcaster, my good friend, new friend, Nelia Hutt. And she is out of Canada, and she has a new podcast that's growing in followers. And I'm just so glad you're with us today. How are you, Nelia?
Hi, Kristen. I'm doing great. Great. It's been a great day, and I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you so much.
Well, I am just so happy. I've been listening to your podcasts, and you know, you have a really unique niche in terms of what you're talking about with your podcast. So first of all, I want to ask, tell us a little bit about your podcast, how long you've been, you know, doing this, and where did the inspiration come from to launch your podcast?
Sure. First of all, I just want to say, you know, you're doing an amazing job. I know that I'm following some of the projects you're doing, and if your listeners aren't aware of them, they should really, you know, research some of the things you're doing, because honestly, I think we met for a reason, and I love that you're giving to people and that you're sharing your heart with everybody. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So I'm Nelia. I'm 48 years old. Up until 2005, I led my life one way, and then my father died in 2005. And my life changed completely. So he died of cancer at 59, and I was 33 and thought I knew a lot at 33, but realized I didn't know anything. So I became very businesslike when he died. I was like taking care of everybody and didn't remember to take care of myself for years. And it really affected who I was. So when my dad got sick, I started to interview him and learn about him in a way that we don't normally see parents, more as people. And so we grew very close, very quickly in the end. Unfortunately, we ran out of some time. But in order to take care of the family, because I come from an immigrant family, in order to take care of my mom, who is not fluent, take care of my little brother, which is not little brother when you're 33, and just, I think, hide my feelings so I could just move on and do the planning and do all these things, because I was the caregiver, I suppressed a lot of things just to be able to, I don't know, live through that. I don't know how better to explain it. So I don't recommend that. I don't recommend suppressing your feelings. So yeah, I stopped taking care of myself. So my podcast is called Giving Starts With You, because if we're running on empty, I don't think that we have anything that we can give to anybody else. And I lived like that for about 10 years. And I feel that my family didn't get the authentic me. I feel like my friends weren't able to relate with me. I was sort of hiding from the world and from my life. So I started this podcast. I've been wanting to do it for a while. I started it mid June. Yeah, mid-June. Kristen and I met on an online challenge. And it really encouraged me, because I'm quite shy, and it really encouraged me to make something of 2020 that was more than just about COVID and all the loss of jobs and all the horrible things that were happening and people dying. And I said, you know what, why not? There are people at home right now. You know, what better time than to get our messages out, right?
Yeah, Kristen? Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and if people can, you know, if they're home and they're depressed, they've lost their jobs. Like, I thought, what can I do in the midst of all this? So I decided, you know, after a year of thinking about it, that it was the right time to start the podcast. And I'm so glad I did, because I really feel that I have learned a lot from my guests. I feel that my take on humanity is different, because I can hear how kind people are, you know, and how giving people are, even more so than what I thought. So I think it's restored my faith a little bit in humankind. So I've met some incredible people, and I think people have gotten some value out of me too, you know, out of my story. So that's why I started it. I know that's a bit of a long answer. Yeah.
No, I think that's going? That's a great answer. And I love it, because, you know, here's, I don't know if you even knew this about my podcast, but I had never listened to podcasts before. And I was in a mom's group, which I'd never been able to be in before. Cause when you're a working mom, you don't get to go to, you know, like mom group.
Yes.
During the day. And so I met this gal, and we were talking one day, and she said, have you thought about, cause I was like right around the time that I was working on my book, and I hadn't published it yet. I hadn't launched it yet. And she was like, have you thought about a podcast? And I'm like, heck no, I haven't thought about a podcast. I'm working on this. I can't do that, you know? And so I was like, I didn't even know what I would talk about on the podcast. You know, it was so, I mean, like you and I have difficulties talking. I mean, we could, you know, come up with lots of things, but so it was interesting, because she mentioned that. And then my best friend mentioned, well, have you thought about starting a podcast? And I was like, okay, two people in a row, maybe I should do a little bit of research. So let's talk about, like, you and I both approached podcasting in two very different ways. So you went the more traditional route. So can you kind of talk to my listeners about, like, what were the steps you took to get ready to launch your podcast?
Sure. So I was feeling, you know, a little bit nervous, I think, about doing it. Just, you know, I was worried that I was going to start it and not finish it. And I thought, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And I've been working full time. So through COVID, it's not that I've been busier than usual. So I haven't been one of those people who have been home, and luckily I've been able to keep my job. I decided to go with a coach, because I had been working with this coach for a while, you know, doing some, getting some free value, and he offers so much value. Decided, you know, I'm going to bite the bullet and I want to get this done. And this course is amazing. If anybody wants to talk to me about it, please, you know, email me. I'd love to talk to you about it. It was a lot of work, but it was so worth it. So I launched in 28 days, and 91% of the people who go through this course do the same. I ranked top 19 in Canada, 16 in Guatemala, and 34 in the States within 12 hours of it going out. I was able to learn about not just how to set it up, but how to find guests, how to interview, how to, so many things, from the cover art to just everything. They support you. They teach you strategies on launching and things like that. And I could have done what you've done, but for me, I think I needed something more structured. So that's what I did. And it's like lifetime support, right? So I'm still taking classes from that course.
That's so awesome.
I really enjoyed it, because it got me, like, I needed to kind of, I'm like, I need to do this and I need to finish. And honestly, I needed the support, right? So I like having the community.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and that just kind of goes to show that we're all different learners, you know? So like my friend who told me about, you know, the platform that I use is called Anchor. And so she told me about it. And then for me, the kind of learner I am, I just read a whole bunch about the platform. I watched some YouTube videos about the platform. And I had already kind of started, I was going to do a blog and I was going to have guest bloggers talk. So I already kind of had ideas of different topics that of people that I've met throughout my life and like just the hope and the stories that they have about life and loss and just overcoming different challenges and things like all the things. Right. And so I'd already actually approached about probably 10 people to say, would you be a guest blogger on my blog? And then when it pivoted and I was like, you know, I think podcasting is the way to go. I just asked them, hey, I'm scratching that. Would you just come on my podcast? And they were like, well, that's a whole bunch easier just to talk. So, but yeah, I just kind of did it that way. And, you know, for me, that felt comfortable. But,
yeah, you know, whatever works, right? I mean, it's just if it's something you guys want to do and it's becoming so popular. Just do it. Absolutely. Take imperfect action, like just get it done, you know? But for me, I was the opposite, Kristen, because for me, I listen to podcasts all the time. And so I suffer from anxiety and panic attacks and depression and PTSD and all that fun stuff that goes along with life. And so I used to listen to certain podcasts. And one day I had heard somebody say something, and I wish I could remember which podcast it was on. And it resonated with me so much. And I no longer felt that I was battling things alone. So I started hearing more and more. And then I felt part of a community. Because sometimes when you're going through all those things, you feel lonely, right? You have nobody to talk to. You feel like you're the only one. And all these things start to go through your mind. So for me, I love podcasts. I've been listening to them for a while. And, you know, I figure, well, I've got something to say. So why not me, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, so let's talk a little bit about other than the, other than your podcast, what other projects have you done recently that you can share with my listeners? Cause it sounds like you have had some travels that you've been going on.
Yeah. So what happened was to take you back to the rest of my story. So after 10 years of, after my dad passed away and 10 years went by and my life kind of fell apart a little bit. I just was very depressed. I just couldn't understand what was going on. And my son was older because I was pregnant when my dad died. And my son was older now. He was, you know, 9 years old. And I thought, you know, he doesn't need me as much. He's not a toddler anymore. Maybe I need to pay attention to what's happening to me. So I did. I started some grief counseling and yes, that helped me. I started some therapy and yes, that helped me, you know, but it also took me back 10 years to the moment. So I started writing a book at that time just to help me heal and I haven't finished it. So in the next few months, I'm going to commit myself to finish writing that book. Also, my son, when he was six, he wanted to help the homeless. So he started a project called Evan's Loot Bags for the Homeless. And that's on my website. If you like, you can read about it. And basically, it's a project that has grown from just me and him at 6 years old in Canada in the middle of the winter, delivering food and homemade cards to 50 homeless people, to now 30 people joining us and 10 families where we go out. And we now know them by name, you know, and we're able to help them get into homes. And it's something we do every October. And my son's now 14. But he taught me how to give. So with this idea, he wanted to give loot bags to the homeless people because he had just come back from a birthday party. And he asked me, he said, do homeless people get loot bags? And I said, no. He said, well, they're going to tomorrow. And he woke me up at 6.
What are they looping?
Yeah. So when you go to a birthday party, I don't know if it's like that in the States, but in Canada, it's quite common that you get a gift bag in return. So you bring a gift to a kid's birthday party and then they give you a little bag with some goodies in it, some Play-Doh or some candy or something, just as a thank you gesture for coming to the party. So that's why we called it Evan's Loot Bags for the Homeless, because he wanted to give them a bag with some goodies in it.
Oh, okay.
So what we do, yeah, so he packs a lunch. You know, we do a sandwich, vegetables, fruit. We do a gift card for coffee and things. We do homemade cards. We bring them tents and, you know, and clothes and things like that. So my son was the one who, during that dark time, really showed me what it meant to give. So despite going to therapy and grief counseling, the thing that helped me the most was how I felt when I gave to people. Mm. So from then on, that's what I did. I tried to do as much as I could, and not with money, because, you know, let's face it, we don't all have money, right? But right. It's not the money. It's not even the food that you give them. Like, some of these people would come up to us and say, hey, you talked to us today. Like, do you know how many people are out there, and whether they're homeless or they're not homeless and they're well off, that are just lonely? So they were more, they appreciated the lunch and they ate it right away, and you could tell they were hungry, which was so sad. But they appreciated, you know, we would hang out for 15, 20 minutes and just talk to them. And we've become friends with some of these people, and they're just amazing, you know. And there's just so much judgment in the world that, yeah. So, you know, it's so important to me, I guess, because of some of the things that I went through, that people don't feel lonely, that they don't feel forgotten. So my big mission, what I want to do with the podcast and what I want to do with the book and in the future, is I really want to change how we help people. So I want to give people that feel forgotten. I want them to give them a place to be seen. You know, it's so lonely. Like, to deal with things in your life, it's hard enough, but to deal with them alone, like, you know, like, we shouldn't have to do life alone.
No.
So in March, I decided, we're a musical family. And the other thing that helps us, you know, get connected in our family is music. So I started last year a blog. It's called travellivegive.com. And it's just about, my son's project is on there, and, you know, some information. It's like a personal development blog. And in March, we decided we were going to go to Guatemala. So we did that. And there's some information about our trip there in a little video. But basically what we did was we went down and we gathered donations for ukuleles, and we wanted to share the gift of music. So I contacted somebody down there, and they gave us permission to go to 3 different schools. So we went to preschools, and wow, the people there are like, I've been to different places around the world, but they're so humble. They're so grateful. I didn't meet one person with a frown. Everybody was just, and they don't have anything, you know, except their family and each other. But they were so grateful. We just went, we played music for the kids. We started a music program, you know, and it doesn't take a lot. Anybody can do it. You know, you just pick a passion and you go with it. It doesn't cost a lot of money. You can raise the money. And it was just so amazing. And out of that, I was able to get like a couple of joint ventures. So I can, you know, there's some new projects that are coming up. We're going to be helping some of the youth down there, learn English through COVID, through online, so they can, you know, have a better, they can, and gain computer skills so that they can, you know, learn the computer. They don't know how to use a computer. So giving them access to the internet and things like that. So I'm so excited, because in the next couple of years, I have these plans to get these things started. But you know, it's just, it's not about me, you know, it's about finding, anybody who's listening can find something that they enjoy doing and create a project out of it. You know, like, if everybody did that, like I said to my son, he had 400 kids in his elementary school. I said, you know, you should go to your school, and if every person picked one day where they could do something, the whole year would be covered. You know, the town would be like, there'd be so many incredible things going on.
Absolutely. So
yeah. And it doesn't actually take a lot. It doesn't take a lot of effort. It doesn't take, you know, and when you feel alone and when you feel depressed and you feel anxious and you don't have any energy to do anything. But honestly, at the end of the day, that's what helped me rise above all of that negativity. So I, with the podcast and with the book and with these mission trips and everything, all I want to do is give people some hope and just show them that there are other people out there like you, and you don't have to suffer with these things by yourself, you know? And that's what I'm hoping that people will get from listening. And that's why I'm so happy that I met you, because you're doing the same thing. Like, you're in a different way, you know? It's incredible what you're doing, and I love it.
Thank you. It's you know, what you say about hope, I can say that from my point of view, with the mission work that I'm doing in Sri Lanka, you know, the most rewarding part for all of the persons included is really that relationship building. That is the most important part, because, you know, there's been conversations about, you know, that being felt like invisible. Like, I've just felt invisible up until now. Like, I just, like, nobody, you know. And I think too, a lot of us here in the United States, especially, and perhaps in Canada as well, because, you know, our governmental systems and the way that our socioeconomic platforms are very similar. But in these third world countries or other places, there's no room for hope.
No.
There's no room for dreams.
Exactly. And it's so sad.
It's very sad. But, you know, I had a friend that's the same age as me. And this conversation that I had with her happened probably about 2 years ago now. And we were talking one time, and she, you know, she has moved here from another country. And I had talked to her about what her life was like when she was a little girl. And she didn't go to school very far past fourth grade, I believe. And I asked her, I said, well, you know, now that she's older and she's, you know, grown up and stuff. And I said to her, I said, well, what did you want to do when you were little? You know, what was it that you wanted to be or to do? Or, you know, there's still time, you know, you're in your 40s, but you're, you know. And she's like, I never had a dream to do anything, because she was already working.
Yes.
Being in charge of babies and cleaning houses and, you know, and she had to stop going to school in fourth grade. She's my age. This isn't like back in time. This is, you know, I mean, this is now. And so when this, you know, when this family that I've met, you know, through this work and this project in Sri Lanka, you know, when we've talked and when we've been writing and we've been, you know, sharing our hearts with each other, when she said, nobody has ever encouraged me before. It's not because that they don't love their
family. No.
It's, you know, it's just that when you are scraping by and you're just living day to day to provide for your family, like, there's no like, oh, we wish we could have such and such, because that's,
I don't think, yeah, I don't even think, yeah, I don't think it crosses their minds.
No.
Like, they don't even stop to think about that, which is so unbelievable for us to hear, but it's like, even when I went to Guatemala, I was thinking, well, ooh, you know, I think I'm going to get there and I'm going to feel really sad for these people. And it wasn't like that at all, because they weren't sad. You know, I went there and they were like, they were so happy and grateful and just happy that people went and took the time. They just, you know, and they don't want handouts. They want people from the States and they want people from Canada to come and teach them a skill.
Right.
No, they don't want, like, we ended up, I couldn't afford it at the time, but I made it work. And I bought this family a fridge because they had three fridges and they were all used as wardrobes because none of them worked. And we wanted to do something. And three of the kids that lived in that house were under five and they were part of the ukulele project that we did. So we had asked to go to their home and they lived sort of like in a cave, but they had electricity. So since then, because I stay in touch every week, and this was in March of this year, since then they've been able to open a business in COVID because they have a fridge.
Unbelievable.
So they're selling ice creams. They're doing that, you know, they can feed, there's 10 of them in the house, and that's very common. One person is working in the whole house. A couple are in wheelchairs. Most of the kids are really young. There's only one gentleman in the house and he's had a stroke, so he's in a wheelchair. So just to show you, like, sometimes it just takes one thing, you know, it doesn't have to be, I don't know how to explain it. I didn't see, like, I saw a lot of hungry people. I didn't see any homeless people, but a lot of hungry people, but they always had some kind of shelter. Mm. Even if it was just, you know, like a cave type thing, but I didn't see any homeless people. I didn't see any people. I talked to people and asked if they were bullying there. And they said, no, we don't even understand what that is. There's no bullying in the schools. There's no, of course, not everybody gets along, but I didn't see that. I asked other people because I was only there for a certain amount of time. I said, what is it like to live here? And people who came from other countries who are now chosen to live there, and people who are Mayan people who were born there generations and generations. And they all said the same thing. They said, you know, we are so happy to live off the land and we're happy with what we have. We just wish we could feed our families.
Right.
You know, so when I came back 2 days before the airplane shut down.
And what divine timing was that?
Yeah.
But oh my goodness.
Honestly, I was kind of upset because a part of me wished I had gotten stuck down there because they really needed help. And I worked with a company down there, amazing. And you'll hear them on my podcast if any of your listeners want to listen in. It's called Fundamaya. But I keep in touch with them all the time. And they get donations for food. They save so many people. They have an animal shelter. They have an elderly program. They have so many things, education for kids. They have so many things going on. But through COVID, all they want is food because people there are dying and they're not dying from COVID, although there are high numbers. They are dying from starvation. So I honestly miss it a lot. I can't wait to go back. I'd like to do some more down there. But so, you know, when I came back and people were complaining about being bored and playing video games all day and doing that. And, you know, we shouldn't feel guilty that we were born here in a wealthy country. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we should be grateful. But at the same time, I think we should remember that, you know, it's really like 4 hours on a plane. It's not like a different planet.
No. You know,
this world is small. I think we need to reach out and help people, you know?
Absolutely.
And for me, I want to fight loneliness because I know you cannot fight anxiety. You cannot fight depression. You cannot fight any of those things. Self-love, you know, a lot of people suffer from self-sabotage. You can't do that when you feel alone. So that's where you have to start, you know? I wish we could live more like the people I met in Guatemala and have less because I think their lives are so much better, you know? So I'm sorry, I don't mean to preach, but this is why I get so
no, it's wonderful.
Passionate about it because honestly, and when I lost my dad, you know, a few days before he died, he said to me something and I feel like I really have to live up to it, you know, because I never had a lot of self-love. I never really thought I was, you know, didn't really spend too much time giving anything to myself, giving myself time to rest, nothing, just took care of other people. And now I know how important it is. Because I can't help anybody from an empty cup, you know, I'm just going to end up getting sick or having a breakdown. And where's my family going to be then? It's right. So important. It's so important. And that's why I did the podcast. But before my dad died, he said, you know, even if you weren't my daughter, I would want to be your friend because you have such a beautiful heart. And it's something that I never felt about myself. But 10 years later, when I started to finally grieve that my dad wasn't here, I said, you know what, I am that person. And I'm going to, you know, rather than being embarrassed because people used to say, you know, I used to be labeled as too sensitive and too, you know, just too emotional and stuff. But you know what, now I realize that that's what I love the most about myself is my heart. And that's all I can give. You know, I don't have tons of money to offer people. I can't help, you know, I'm not a doctor. I can't help people in other countries that way. All I can give is my heart. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to figure out different ways that I can help people feel like they belong to something.
That's beautiful. I love it. Absolutely. And you know, it's very interesting that you didn't feel that about yourself because I remember there was a time where there was negativity. And I remember someone telling me that another group of people that I worked with at a time, one person in particular said, oh, she's just too happy. she's just always too happy. Nobody's ever that happy. like that. Yeah. There was a like because when I would come to work, I would choose not to focus on the negative. I mean, there, everybody has negative, right? But I wasn't going to walk through the door and bring that backpack of negativity with me. But you know, I think that that positivity and that, you know, that compassionate heart that you have for it, it, that becomes like, even if you don't have like the monetary ability to move a project forward, like you could have all the money in the world. And if you don't have passion and you don't have someone who's igniting and saying, hey, let's go to Guatemala with some ukuleles, you know, then guess what? It's not going to happen. You know, you need to have, you need to have the Nelia Hudson in the world to say, you know, this is completely doable. Like, we're going to do it, you know? And
you're so sweet.
I think it's so powerful, you know, it's so powerful. So
I like with you with, thank you so much. That's so sweet of you to say, but I mean, look at you with your project for Sri Lanka. Like, you're doing so much work there. And what did you do? You grabbed a, you found a community of people to rise up. And if everybody could donate, you know, $10, $5, $20, and you were able to make things happen from donations. And that's exactly what I did as well. You know, I did, like, I paid for my plane trip and all of that, but the donations for the ukuleles, it's because I asked.
Right.
You know, if we don't ask, we don't know what's possible.
It'll always be a hard no. I always say you have to have those big asks. And the worst somebody could say is no. You know, the worst that someone could say is, oh my gosh, no. And I can't believe she asked me that, you know, but it's always going to be a hard no if you don't ask.
And that's okay too, you know.
If, absolutely.
You know, but absolutely. I'll tell you one thing though. Some of the people who said no, after seeing some of my pictures and the impact we made, now said, let me know when you're going again.
Yes.
So some of these people want to join me. Like, I have five of my guests that I interviewed and we're making plans to go together because they really want to feel what it's not even like, I feel like it's just ukuleles, you know, but it's not what we did. It's the fact that we took time out to learn. And that's what people are telling me. Cause I kept saying, well, no, we didn't really give them much, you know? And I'm like, but no, that's not the point. The point is, in those 2 hours we were there in each of those schools, the kids forgot they were hungry. They forgot how tired they are because they don't have a place to sleep. They just smiling and laughing and had a chance to be children, you know, and that's what I wanted. Coming from a mental health advocate and background, that's all I wanted. I wanted them to feel just free and peaceful and just have no fear. You know, these are like 3 to 6 year old kids, right?
Mm-hmm. So, well, you wanted to bring them hope, and your hope came in the form of a ukulele, you know, whereas the family that you were with, that their hope came in the form of the fridge.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's something that I want, like, for those of you that are listening today, like, hope, people are praying for hope. They are, as soon as they wake up, their eyes open and they're just like, oh, if I could only just have such and such to help me with such and such, and it could be so tiny of a thing, you know? And I know that I was so humbled when this project with Sri Lanka was just getting off the ground, because I was just getting to know this family and we were sharing a lot of things about our lives and, you know, things like taking pictures of plants outside and, you know, what our surroundings look like. And my husband and I, we've lived in our house for 20 years. We never updated the kitchen. We bought a fridge when we first moved in, and it actually lasted up until like a month ago. But our counter has been like this blue formica, you know, counter forever. And every time I'm like, I really wish I could have something other than blue. And it's, you know, over 20 years old. So we had talked about it. And we were, you know, like, well, you know, like, we're going to have to save for it, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I finally said, you know, that's it. Like, I'm going to get this new countertop, you know, and we went to this place in St. Louis and I was like, I deserve granite. Like, everybody else has granite countertops. Like, I don't ask for much, you know, and I should be able to get granite. And so I said, well, I'm just going to have to save for it and, you know, whatever. Later that week, And I don't normally, like, I'm not really a person that, like, I wear, like, Jockos every day, and I have, like, a pair of tennis shoes. I have some flip-flops. I'm really not a fancy person. So, so for me to, I mean, I've lived with the same kitchen, you know, countertop for, you know, 20 years. So for me to, like, say, I want this, like, that's not normally how I roll. Well, later that week, we were sharing pictures of our houses and homes, just, you know, not like the whole big house, but just like my friend was sharing her, like, how they sleep, you know, and they have, like, beds with mosquito nets, you know, and things like that. And then she took a picture of her kitchen. And
isn't it a way?
Oh my gosh. Just right to my heart.
It's like, if, like, you have a working fridge, you're rich.
Yes. And I was just like, boy, I needed that reality check.
And you know what, Kristen? It's okay to be fancy too. And it's okay to want the good things in life, because we work hard. And like I said, we shouldn't feel guilty about where we live. But we should be aware of, like you're saying, we should be aware, you know, that maybe our priorities, you know, aren't as important as we thought, but it's still okay to want those nice things, you know?
Right. Absolutely.
We need to, yeah, there's, I mean, I don't want people to feel guilty either, but I totally understand what you're saying.
It's right. Just, it made me just kind of like take stock, like, okay, if I had X number of dollars, if my counter works fine, it's not broken, it's not whatever. If my counter works fine and it looks fine, and for me, this is what went through my brain. Like, if I could take X number of dollars that it would cost me to put a new counter, and if that same amount of money could put a roof on this family's house.
Yeah, and how many, you go to bed and you know that, look, there's 4 dry people on the other side of the world because of me.
Right.
You know, torrential rain pour. And if you can do it, a community can do it, you know?
Absolutely. So that's kind of what it made my mind think. You know, that kind of, and I think really, I think you have to get rooted into these kind of projects to really, like, get that, those thoughts manifesting. Cause I think, like, you're right. Like, if you don't, like, have an avenue into, like, giving in this way, then you do find yourself, like, binge watching what's next on Netflix, just filling your time, you know, in other ways. And there's time for that. I mean, there's time for decompression in different ways. But yes. I think I want to go back to something that you said about filling your cup, because I actually just posted about this today on my All the Things with Kristen Schindler Facebook group. And it says that you need to fill your own cup. And I think, you know, it's kind of like if you went into a restaurant and you sat down, you wouldn't just expect the person to walk up and know what you like to drink, what you want to eat, right? You have to tell them, I would like coffee, no cream, no sugar, or I would like coffee, like 7 creams and 7 sugars, you know? But I think a lot of times we forget that we know what fills our cups, but we sometimes feel that it's selfish of ourselves to want to take the time to fill that cup.
Yes, because we're taught that, right? We're taught that, hey, you shouldn't think of yourself. But that's not true. It's like when I went to Guatemala, I know I keep going back to that, but I just learned so many lessons when I was there. And even without having cups, their cups were always full. You know? They didn't even... It's so tough, you know? Like, for me, I feel like if you help yourself, like, I'll give myself as an example. A depressed and anxious mother does not do anything good for her family. I can tell you that because that was me. So start to heal myself. Then my son takes part. Then my husband takes part. Now the community where I live is benefiting because of the things that we're doing. And then when you go on mission trips and then you go home and you talk about it to other people, you're then sharing those experiences. So people are listening. Then people are creating their own thing, you know? So I really feel like if you help one person and start with you, you know, because we all have stuff that, you know, stuff, all the things, right?
Right.
We all have that. So I feel like if you start with yourself, you can heal so many people. And, you know, when you were talking about hope, it's like, give people a reason to wake up. You know, if you're the person who doesn't suffer from those things, you have such an opportunity to really help those other people, help them up, you know, help them figure things out, help people. You know, if you see someone, especially with COVID, like a lot of the elderly and a lot of people who are not able to leave their home or live alone, like, you know, how can you help them? Because really, what do people have like a reason to get up in the morning? Give them a reason.
You know, and sometimes you have to assess the situation. And I had this happen yesterday. I was at the grocery store. I'm an Aldi shopper. For those of you who are Aldi shoppers, do you have Aldis in Canada?
No, we don't.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Well, I'll send you the grieving card later. Anyway, it's a German brand store, but, but there was a lady there, and, the way Aldi works, because you don't have one, you pay for a cart and they have a small selection of things, right? So it's their brand of things. So the cost is lower because there's not like 17,000 mustards, you know, there's like two. Anyway, so I get done checking out and you bag your own groceries. And so you bring your own bags or you purchase bags there or whatever. But sometimes people just grab the boxes that they use to stock the shelves with. They use those to carry their groceries out.
Right. Okay.
So there was this woman and she was, you know, elderly and she was a little bit frail. And I just packed my groceries up and I was heading out of the door and she was trying to precariously like balance this big, long rectangular box with like eggs and like barbecue sauce and all these things that were packed in there. But it was like kind of like a long rectangular box that you would have like cans would have been stacked on, you know? Mm-hmm. And all I could see was like, I could see these eggs like fall. And I was like, ma'am, do you need a little help? And she was like, no, I think I'm okay. And, you know, but you could tell like it's during COVID time. Right. Mm-hmm. So she's probably like, and I was wearing a mask. She actually wasn't, which I'm kind of surprised of now that I think about it, but she was kind of scared to ask for help. Like she probably really wanted the help, but then she wasn't really sure. And I was like, you know what? I really just have to help you with this because I'm really worried that this is going to fall and your eggs are going to be broken. So can I just but she couldn't lift it to put it down in her cart. So she had it up on the top part, like where the little basket is, where children would sit. She was like, thank you so much. I'm like, I think you need to sit down. Do you want to sit down? And she's like, yes, I think I want to sit down. So, you know, sometimes I think there's a very fine balance with, you know, seeing that someone needs help and being able to do it in such a way that it still honors and respects.
Yes, I love that. No, it's for sure. Because it's so expected that if somebody helps you, you're weak, right?
Right.
So you got to be careful how you do it. No, I think that's great.
Yeah. And her daughter-in-law was there in the store. And I said, do you need help? Because I thought she might not be able to lift this out of her car. She's like, oh no, my daughter-in-law is coming. She just wasn't finished up. And I said, okay. So she just, you know, she sat down. But I think, you know, I think it's important too for our children to see those kinds of acts of service because it costs nothing.
Yeah. And you know, for us, like for you, how hard was it to help her? Not hard.
No.
But for her, you could have not only saved her eggs from falling, but she could have slipped, broke her hip, ended up in the hospital. Like, there's just a plethora of, and I'm not trying to be negative, but you just don't know.
Right. Well, she did have a cane. You know, she was walking very slow. I mean, she could have been out of breath. She could have, you know, lots of things. But, you know, sometimes I think, too, our children, when, you know, it's important for us to notice things and be observant. And then really talk to our children about why we're doing what we're doing. It sounds like your son already has that compassionate, you know, heart, you know, that's just how it beats normally, but not all children do, right? Sometimes they're more cautious or they're, you know,
though he's a teenager now. We'll have to see how the world
changes. Well, you know, they do morph, you know, but you know, it's interesting. I picked my daughter up from her karate class the other day. And when I left the building, there were like, you kind of go around the back alley and there's two houses that you drive by, and there was a gentleman and he was barbecuing. So I had to drive by him, you know, to leave the area. And so I stopped and my daughter was like, "What are you doing?" And I rolled my window down and I said, "Hi, is this where I pick my food up?" And he like looked at me and he goes, "Excuse me?" And I said, "Yeah, I just ordered in the front. They told me to drive around and my food, I could pick it up here." And he started laughing so hard. He's like, "Oh yeah." He's like, "Absolutely. I'm right here for you. I got your food. I'll feed you," you know? And so I was like, "It smells great. Have a good day," you know? And I went on my way. And my daughter was like, "Why did you do that?" And I said, "Because I can." I said, "Did you see his smile?" I said, that's, you don't know what kind of day he was having. I said, and so your minute of embarrassment, I said, this is who I am. This is the way my heart works. I said, and there'll be a time when you'll look back, maybe when I'm dead and gone, and you'll be like, "I will never forget the time she embarrassed me so much when I was coming out of martial arts and she stopped and talked to this man about barbecue," you know? Our mom was crazy, and my kids will be like, "Yeah, we remember that," you know? So
my son says the same thing, but you know, I used to say it to my parents too. I didn't get it at that age, you know?
Yeah.
But, but it's just, I don't know.
Well, keep on embarrassing them. That's right. Keep on embarrassing them. It, you know, it really roots those memories in deep, you know?
Yes. And you know how people say, "What is it you want for the end of your life?" Like, I want to have less regrets as I can. And, you know, I don't want to have regrets. I want to know that I did everything that I could. Like, look at COVID. Like, I know we're so sick of talking about it, but if you think about how many people died, you know, and how many people are by themselves and have to suffer alone and all these things, it's like, it didn't discriminate, you know? COVID got everybody, whether you had money or whether you didn't, whether you were Black or whether you were white, you know, whether, whatever.
Right.
So, you know, we're all just humans, right? I think we need to pull together. Hopefully the world will be a little bit different. And I wrote a little blog on my website, actually. It says, "My Vision for the World Post-COVID-19. And let's hope that we learn some lessons and move forward. And, you know, we're not any better than anybody else, Kristen. We're I think we're both the same age and are close to the same age. I think we're just, you know, you get to a point in your life where you're like, there's got to be more to life than just me and my family. There's other people out there. There's other things that can be done,
mm-hmm. you know? Absolutely. Yeah, I was telling someone the other day, my mission, you know, is to show up every day authentically, vulnerably, and listen to the hearts of others. Like, that's like when I show up, like that's my game plan. But as the days go on, I want to be able to go where I want to go, do what I want to do, help who I want to help, period. Like for the rest of my life. Like, that is what I want to do. And I think you and I are very similar in that. So I think that's why we were brought together. I think lots of good things that are to come. We will definitely, my listeners will probably hear you again on here with you sharing another wonderful story.
Thank you. And I loved having you on my podcast. So if you guys want to hear Kristen talk about these wonderful things that she's doing, I'm not going to tell you too much about it, then come on to, my podcast, and we'll be working together, I'm sure, Kristen, in the future.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And honestly, I think we both want the same things. We might be, you know, are the way we're getting to them different, but I think we have very similar goals, you know?
Yeah.
And I really just want people to feel like they have a place to tell their story, because I think it makes a difference. And I think it helps heal the person as well. So I just want people to feel validated. I want them to feel visible. And I want them to feel victorious. So that are my three things, you know.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's powerful stuff. You're doing mighty work, my friend. Mighty, mighty work. So I want all my listeners, check check her out, check her podcast out, where we could find, what platforms do you have your podcast on? Like anywhere they could just search?
Yeah. So I'm on Apple iTunes. I'm on Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and I forget what the last, Stitcher.
All right. And Giving Starts With You. That's the name of the podcast. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being a guest, and thanks for hanging in there. We had a little bit of technical issues on the forefront that none of you had to worry about, but she and I were like pulling our hair out, but we're just so glad because you had a wonderful story to tell. And I think sometimes when you have wonderful stories, there's a battle that needs to happen for that to get out there. So thanks for sticking with me, friend. And
Thank you. I'm so honored to be asked, and I'm so happy to have met you and to have a new friend in my life. And for those people that are listeners, hey, if you've got a message and you want to share it to the world, do some podcasting, reach out to either, you know, Kristen or I, and find out about our experience. We would love to talk about it. And please let us know how we're doing. We're fairly new at this. So
I know. Drop us some reviews. Give us some tips. What other things would you like to hear too? I always like to get that feedback as well. All right. Well, I will catch you next time, friend. You have a great night.
You too, Kristen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. I'm so glad that you were able to join us today for the 14th episode of All the Things with Kristen Schindler. I'm so glad that I was able to share my mic space today with Nelia Hutt and learn about her new podcast, Giving Starts With You. And I hope that you hop over there. I hope you check it out. She has such a warm heart and she's doing wonderful things, and she's talking to so many people that are doing wonderful things for people and sharing their story. I just encourage you to think of your story. You know, oftentimes we think of our messes in life, and those messes turn into our messages. That's what they do. And people are longing to hear your story. So be brave, be your authentic and vulnerable self, because people want to hear your heart.